What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Q&A show here at Fightful Select. I know we're doing this a little bit late. Holiday seasons had me a little bit behind schedule, but here we are, November 27th. Let's go ahead and get to it. Sean Garner says, when do you think fans return to shows? Well, fans already have returned to shows at AEW and a couple other places, some independents, but I think that they'll have fans in some capacity, also NXT. I think they'll have fans in some capacity at Royal Rumble. And I think probably by summer or fall, we get actual fans back. I think they'll try to do it for WrestleMania as well. Matt says, with the current booking, who do you see winning each Royal Rumble and who do you want to win at this time? I think Big E and Bianca are on pace to win, and I think they should win. That's how I'd like to see it. Big E versus Reigns, Bianca versus Sasha are the matches I want to see. Sean says, who should be Asuka's next challenger? I think it should be Alexa Bliss, and I think Alexa Bliss should win that. WWE has no idea what to do with Asuka as champion, so I just think this is the best route. Reed says, with having more father-son tag teams lately in wrestling, have there been any mother-daughter tag teams in wrestling before? Yeah, of course. Paige and her mother, they teamed together many, many times. I mean, they faced each other a whole lot more, but they teamed together a bunch of times. Reed also asks, I know Jacob Fatu recently signed a new deal with MLW, but do you ever see him going to WWE and being involved with Roman and the Usos? Not imminently, but eventually, yeah, I do think so. In fact, I'm surprised that he re-signed with MLW, and that's not me taking a shot at MLW. It's just me saying that I thought for sure that he would end up going to WWE. He seemed like the kind of person and the kind of performer character the WWE would want to get a hold of. And I'm surprised that either they didn't or it didn't work out. But yeah, I fully expect him to eventually be over there. Sean asks, how long before we see someone like Liv Morgan or Ruby Riott become women's champion? I think it'll be a while for one of those two. I do think that they'll eventually win the tag team titles, as they should. I think that they're really, really great. Reed also says, I'm pretty impressed so far with Max Caster. Seen him a bit on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Had no idea he could talk and rap so well. The Acclaimed have been a pleasant surprise. How far do you think they could go in AEW? Well, that's the beauty of AEW is their, I hate to use the term glass ceiling, but there is no glass ceiling there. People can rise to that occasion. I mean, nobody 7-8 months ago even thought that Eddie Kingston would be a factor in AEW, much less be there and be a prominently featured name. So the Acclaimed, for someone who had interests from WWE and Impact Wrestling, albeit way behind, they had interests on these two guys. They're going to have their opportunity to get over and show what they can do. And I think they can go as far as they want, to be honest with you. If someone catches fire in AEW, they will move to those people, which is very promising. Ruben Blanco says, any news on any women signing to AEW like Layla Hirsch or Allison Kay? I don't think either one of those have signed as of yet. I would be surprised if Alex Gracia wasn't popping up more. I don't know if she signed, though. I know WWE was really impressed with Lacey Ryan and another name that I'm going to drop fairly soon if I can get a little bit more details in regards to it. But Lacey Ryan is one that checks all the boxes for WWE. That much I know. Sean says, you mentioned last week how some wrestlers have had day jobs. Any ideas or examples of what kind of jobs out of curiosity? Yeah, I mean, there is a prominent Impact wrestler who, as of last year, not this year, last year, worked as a transcriptionist and a very good one. There are a lot of people that work in Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, and spots like that that make enough money that they would be just fine if they didn't have day jobs. But also you got to look at the Impact schedule where you're there 8 to 10 times a year right now. And you're filming a bunch of content. They're not filming like every other weekend or anything like that. And ROH, much of the same. It allows them to have a day job if they want or sit at home with their family if they want. Also, there were several people in 1995 in WWF. There was a guy who worked as a trash man. There was a guy who was a stock car racer. You know, just normal everyday jobs. Got a question about Paige's contract and if Josh Alexander will follow him. I can't specify this enough. Josh Alexander's contract is not coming up. Ethan Page's is. That's it. So I think he'll end up in AEW or WWE, quite frankly. I know that there are some people with familiarity with him in both companies, so I think that he'll end up... Ideally, I think he should probably end up in AEW. He fits WWE really, really well, though. Like, he is a Monday Night Raw wrestler. Jake says, any reason why WWE ditched or didn't push the scorecard like there was in the past Survivor Series despite brand supremacy? I asked and I was not given an answer about that. I'm sorry. Any update on the Select transition to the main site? Excited for that switch. I mean, somewhat. Jimmy said that the team thinks that it'll be ready in January, but when they say it's, I mean, they also said it'd be ready in September, and it's because we want to make sure it's right. We want to make sure you guys have all the features that you have here. I have specifically mentioned opt-in or opt-out updates. That way you all can get updates based on the way that we tag things. So if you guys don't want updates about like a podcast, then you won't get updates about a podcast. If you don't want updates about news, you won't get them about that. That's what I'm hoping, at least. Looking into an RSS feed and all that stuff. Jimmy said January. I assume that's when we'll be testing it and all that stuff. But can't come soon enough for me, man. I'm tired of dealing with Patreon. It's a good platform, but there are elements of it we don't like. And that, quite frankly, we don't think are fair to you guys. So... we're trying to switch and maximize it for everybody. Jonathan asks, has Timothy Thatcher ever wrestled Cesaro? If so, inject that into my veins. Nope, they've never wrestled. Never wrestled. They missed each other. Jonathan says, is Karrion Kross the next challenger for Finn? I would like to think so. It would make a lot of sense because right now, Finn is a ship without a dock, so to speak. I don't know where the hell he's going to go. Don't know what he's going to do. Jonathan says, is it possible for WWE to salvage Aleister Black? Yeah, of course. Mandy Rose is beating Becky Lynch shortly on TV very quickly, shortly before Becky got that massive push. Drew McIntyre was fired from WWE. There is always the ability to save somebody, especially someone with the talent level of an Aleister Black. So they would have to give him a push and make him interesting. And right now they don't seem interested in doing that. Jonathan says, has Nia Jax ever sold for anyone? The Survivor Series match just made me not want to see her anymore. The work has not been good of late. She has sold for other people. Selling is not her strong suit, to say the least. It is definitely something that takes me out of the match and takes me out of a lot of the stuff that she's involved with. But yeah, it's always been a weak point of her game. Matt says, with Top Flight being signed and also being so young, could you see them eventually being tag team champions down the road in AEW or any other promotion? Oh, yeah. I think it is a top tag team in the company and will for sure win tag team titles at some point. Yeah, 100%. No doubt in my mind. Zach says, any update on Kota Ibushi re-signing with New Japan? I do not have an update on that. If we get that kind of update, you best believe you'll know it because we'll post it on Fightful Select. Zach also asks about Dalton Castle's boys and about how they had a tryout performance center and what they're doing now. Yeah, they've been actually in my neck of the woods for quite a while. I want to say most of this year they've been in the Louisville, Indiana, basically the tri-state area, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, doing a lot of stuff for OVW, which is good. To me, I don't want to say it's now or never time for them, but... It's good to get those reps in, and they're doing that. They're heavily featured in OVW. They just actually won the Nightmare Cup, and then I'm pretty sure they're the tag team champions in OVW right now. So they're getting a lot of experience there, and they're working with some people like Ryan Howe from Tough Enough and some other names that have been around. Brian Pillman Jr., I know, worked with them. Earlier this fall, I want to say, and guys like Ronnie Roberts, who I think a lot of. Matt says, what's the worst Jax bone-crunching action figure, BCA, that you own but love to death, even though it looks like shit? All of them. I mean, that's kind of what I like about them, is that they're so ugly, because right after that, they moved to the face scans, and to me, that eliminates some sense of artistic freedom. I don't even say freedom. You're supposed to make them look like these people. but it eliminates some of the art that goes into creating these figures. So that's why I like them so much. I'm not big on face scan figures and all that stuff, but there's an Austin that they use the head for the Stomp figure, and it's by far the ugliest, weirdest looking figure. My favorite figure is actually British Bulldog because they made the arms differently than every other figure. They start out broad around his waist, and then when you pull them up, they go up tighter to his head, which is great for an action figure. I wish I had that when I was younger. That's probably one of my favorites, and I love Yokozuna as well. But they're all kind of ugly in their own way, which is why I like them so much. Josh says, have you heard any updates on how Tegan's knee surgery went? I assume she's out 9 months to a year again. You would assume, right? That's at least the word on or within WWE is they expect her to be out for another year. It's only been, 2 months now. Very unfortunate. But as far as I know, it went fine. I haven't heard anything bad. Josh Wilburn says, do you think AEW ever gives someone like Nick Gage an opportunity? Maybe on Dark. I think that he'll eventually challenge for the TNT title or something like that. Michael says, I often see wrestlers take a bump, then open and close their hands as if they're trying to get feeling back. Do you know if that is real? Is it selling or is it some sort of signal to the referee? It can be both. People get stingers all the time. Happened to me several times, especially when you're bumping like that. You get a lot of bulging discs. You get a lot of cervical issues with your spine. And sometimes those nerves get pinched. And then there are times you're just doing it because you know that it's effective as a selling technique. How long do you think WWE should keep this new Alexa Twisted Bliss character? A long-term partnership with Fiend, or just long enough to tell the story of her breaking this spell? I think they should keep it for a long time. I think she's one of the most interesting characters that there are, and I think she should become women's champion. So I would ride it for quite a while. Michael says, you've got Jimmy Van shirts at Fightful Merch Shop, shop.fightful.com. But will you sell hats with Jimmy Van's name on them? A Jimmy hat would be a great cross-promotion with Blue Chew. That's a great idea. I'm going to pitch that. That is brilliant. Chris says, will War Games be at the CWC or the Thunderdome? I think it's going to be at the CWC. I could be wrong, though. I think they've got the capability to do that there. I mean, it's War Games is just a couple rings and a cage. That's it. It's not like a big Hell in a Cell structure. Roel says, do you think main roster needs more women's wrestlers? Yeah, it does. It needs a couple more. I think that Rhea Ripley should move up. Roel Ortega says, more of a fantasy booking question. Reigns calls out Rollins for laying down at Survivor Series. He takes him out mafia style, writing him off TV for his maternity leave. Thoughts? I mean, it'd be good, but Rollins is done for a while. He's already gone. Sheila says, saw that Xavier Woods got a gig with G4. Do you think that'll be, or that'll affect Woods' availability, or will be there no change, even though he's still doing stuff for Up, Up, Down, Down? Well, from what I understand, that's part of the reason they brought on Dakota Kai, Jessamyn Duke, Shayna Baszler, and Mia Yim to help out with Up, Up, Down, Down. So, obviously, his availability was going to decrease a little bit. I can't pretend to know how it'll affect his schedule, but Raw seems like where his bread is buttered, so I'd imagine that takes priority. And I think it would have to in anything that he signed with them if he's under WWE contract. WWE's usually pretty sure about those things. Chris says, is the Undisputed Era Pat McAfee group feud the most worthy of War Games since NXT brought the match back? I would argue that almost none of them have been... None of them have really called for it, so to speak. And I know that a lot of you are like, oh, what do you mean? I love War Games. I think it's great, especially the way that NXT does it. I don't even mind that they don't have a top on the cage because it allows for better use of the match for NXT. But it seems like every single year, it's just a stable thrown together to face Undisputed Era. The one that made the most sense to me was the first one in 2017 when it was AOP. Even Roderick Strong was just thrown in with AOP, so you can't really say that. Then they had Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and the War Raiders. And then it was Ciampa, Dijakovic, Keith Lee, Kevin Owens. All right, well, this stable also didn't exist before 2 months ago. Ah, man, it's just, I don't quite get that. To me, you build up two huge factions, and then you let them go at it. You let the world know that there are two entities that need to be in this cage and settle their problems. I loved even Team WCW, Luger, Flair, Anderson, and Sting against the NWO. And then by the next year when you had the Horsemen against NWO, it made a whole lot of sense. I dig it. Then they did kind of dilute it the next year with WCW, Hollywood, and Wolfpack, but they had built those stables up, I thought, pretty effectively. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I've been a subscriber for about a year now and haven't read it for a day. This is coming from someone who swore they would never pay for wrestling news. I love the Fightful community. Hey, well, we love you, and I used to be that guy, too. I used to be the person that said, I'm not going to pay for wrestling news, and for some people, that's not what they want to do, and that's fine. But I was against starting Fightful Select. I told Jimmy that I didn't want to do that. I didn't think it would work. Well, let me tell you, it has been a huge success, and it has helped create a better quality of life for our staff, and it's helped us hire more staff. Our staff is not as overworked now. Still work their asses off, but not 7 days a week. We were able to hire a weekend guy. It helps a lot, and I got to tell you guys how important that is to us that you guys are supporting us. We are not a site that exists to rake in tens of thousands of dollars in profit. If we break even, Jimmy's pretty happy. Sheila says, kind of curious why WWE recently filed trademarks on the names John Cena and Dean Ambrose. Are they just holding on to it in case either guy ever returns to WWE? Well, much like the Razor Ramon and Diesel characters, they want to retain the likeness of Dean Ambrose. They don't want anybody else to have the ability to pick that up and use it. For John Cena, it's just he'll still stay loosely connected with WWE. For Dean Ambrose, they don't want anybody else picking that up. And that's a wise thing to do because, as we've seen in the past, Cody Rhodes, Conrad Thompson, Michael Dawkins, these people are very diligent in doing what they do and picking up good trademarks. Arn Anderson with the Four Horsemen trademark. MLW had War Games for a while. Like, you got to do it. There are other entities around now that know about copyright law and know what they can do. I see it as a smart business move, and yeah, it's just something that you got to do, really. Sheila says, what's your take on the individual in AEW who's been actively leaking and spoiling taped episodes of Dynamite on Reddit? Well, I had a couple AEW wrestlers asking me if I knew who it was, and I don't. I do not interact with that person. I don't usually look at those. And, I mean, I can tell you that at one point, when taped episodes of Dynamite were leaked on Reddit, I spoke to Tony Khan directly, who said, these are not accurate, and he was right. The spoilers were not accurate at that point. Now, this was when Eric Rowan was rumored to have debuted and helped Brody Lee win the TNT title. And he was honest with me about that, and I appreciate that. And ever since then, I have been very, very hesitant to rely on Reddit posts for AEW spoilers. Not saying they're wrong, just saying that based on my experience, I need a solid track record. Ron Patel, good friend of the show, says, I saw some old podcasts and you doing a show with Vince Russo. How long did you work together for? What was your favorite moment or joke on the show? How many times did you say bro after you're done talking with Russo, LOL? So here's the funny thing. I didn't used to say bro at all. However, within a one-year period, I started working with Vince Russo. I started working with Matt Riddle, and DDP was a sponsor of mine for DDPY. So I would have conversations every single day in which bro was a part of the vernacular, and it became a part of my vernacular heavily, heavily. I started to work with Vince Russo, I want to say, at the end of 2015. It's whenever David Bixenspan was leaving the Wrestling Inc. podcast, and we moved to a video format, and Raj Geary hit me up, and he's like, listen, you're going to be doing a show with Vince Russo. I had some concerns. I did not know Vince Russo personally. However, the content on the screen was nothing but good. Me and Vince Russo had a lot of really good shows. Raj Geary wanted to make sure that I would challenge him on contesting points and things like that. It was something that, Raj was very specific about. And then, I think it was probably May or June of 2016, Vince revealed he'd be leaving the show. And I knew that I was going to Fightful right after that. I didn't know that he was going to go to Fightful. Jimmy had made that deal like separately and kind of revealed it to me. And then we did a show until about October or November of that year. So I worked with Vince Russo for about a year. And then we did a couple of shows here and there, including one for the pilot taping of Fightful Select, where we get his thoughts on any number of things. And we did a thing called Russo Reveals. The content was very, very good, and I encourage you guys to check that out. Me and Vince are way, way, way different in what we like and what we don't like. We did a mock draft. I mopped the floor with that guy, but it was really good. My favorite thing that we did on a show was when I got him to sing Shawn Michaels' theme song. That was a good memory. But yeah, I had a lot of fun working with Vince Russo, and we have completely different wrestling ideologies, but I really like doing podcasts with Vince Russo. It was a lot of fun. And a big thing Jimmy always wonders whenever I interview somebody is, oh, can you ask them something that hasn't been asked before? And I'm like, yeah, I can. I've got a million things I can ask anybody that haven't been asked before. There's always a different angle. There's always a different personality. There's always a different way to ask things to get an interesting answer, and I had no problem doing that with Vince Russo. Bryant Heath says, what's a movie that changed your life? I gotta say Jarhead, and the reason why it's Jarhead is when I was like 18 or 19, I did not watch a lot of TV, I didn't watch a lot of movies, but one of my friends, Brandon, would always be like, man, you watch really terrible movies, all you watch are comedies. He's like, hey, watch, he's like, just take home a bunch of movies and start watching some of them. So he would let me borrow some. And Jarhead was one that I watched, and I was like, okay, this movie's really good. It's very entertaining. I need to step up my quality there. I would say Burn Notice was a TV show that changed my life more, and it was on after Raw, and I realized, oh, okay, TV doesn't suck so bad anymore. It's not all just Full House and crap like that. Like, there's actually some good stuff. Bryant Heath says, what moment of wrestling made you proud to be a wrestling fan? That's a tough one. The Daniel Bryan moment's easy. I can tell you that when I put that little girl in touch with Becky Lynch and it was able to kind of make her happy, that was one time that I was very proud to be involved in wrestling. There are few things that are as fulfilling as making someone else happy, even if you don't know them. And I've come to know that girl's family. I've interviewed her father, who is a pro wrestler. I am friends with her brother. Like, things like that are like you make connections, and that's what so much of this is about. Like, I used to think, oh, I just want to cover wrestling. Then I started to meet people, and I started to make other people happy via our work or whatever that may be. That's what makes me proud to be in wrestling. As far as a moment that made me proud to be a wrestling fan, I don't know if there necessarily was one, because if I wasn't proud to be a wrestling fan, I just wouldn't be a fan of it. Bryant says, when did you realize you wanted to be a wrestling journalist? I knew I wanted to cover wrestling all along. I did training for MMA and pro wrestling to be better at my job, but I was like, you know what, maybe I'll fight for a living instead. And that was 2009, 2010, when I was making a go at it, training full time. And quite frankly, I had way too many injuries. And I said, you know what, I like getting the experience. I think that I would be very good at fighting or wrestling, quite frankly, but I don't know if it's worth sacrificing my quality of life physically to do that. So around 2009, 2010, I knew that that's what I wanted to do. In 2014 was when I decided, if I don't make it full time, I'm going to move on to something else. And I think it's when I got let go from Fansided. I was like, okay, this year it's going to happen. And it did. Matt Hookey says, do you have any update on whether we'll see FTR, Cardona, and AEW again? Cardona's deal with AEW is up. FTR's is not. And yeah, FTR, they're signed. Cardona is not. John says, any word on when Brody Lee will be coming back? No, I don't even know what he's sidelined with, to be honest with you. He's just been out for a while. Hope he's doing okay. I feel like I heard his family was at a recent set of tapings. But no update. John Silver has taken over as de facto mouthpiece there. John says, in a recent interview, Kenny Omega expressed his desire to one day have a standalone show for the women's roster. Do you believe the current roster is capable of pulling that off? And if not, do you think they need to get it to that point? They do need to get it to that point. If we're talking right now at this moment, no, because you got Yuka Sakazaki, Shayna, Riho, Emi Sakura out of the country. But after that, if everybody's healthy, yeah, I do think so. Big Swole, Britt Baker, Riho, Yuka Sakazaki, Serena Deeb. You've got Nyla Rose, Chris Statlander, Hikaru Shida, Ivelisse, and Diamante. I don't remember if I said Swole or not, but I mean, those, that's 10 or 11 really solid to excellent workers there. And that's before we get into the Tay Conchis, Anna Jay, some of the emerging names there that they have. I think they could do it, especially if it's an hour long. Yeah, they could for sure do an hour long standalone show. I don't think that would be an issue whatsoever. You always got to keep growing the women's division. You want the women's division at a spot where it can and does often main event. You want that women's title ideally to mean as much as the world title. That's not been the case in AEW. It has been in Impact in the past. It has been in WWE in the past. Never has been in ROH. So you've got to work on that and improve on that and make it seem more prestigious. Matt says, do you switch your phone off at night or do you keep it on in case someone sends you big news? Phone is always on. Always on. I know that a lot of you are like, oh, how do you have any separation? I don't sometimes, and my wife is fine with that, and it's a part of the job. Matt says, once he has his fight on Saturday, do you think AEW will look to get Tyson in again, or has the budget been spent on Shaq? I think they'll get him in. I think they'll have him come along again, especially if he has a good performance for this weekend. So yeah, I think he'll appear again. He seems to like it as well. That's the thing. Like, Shaq and Mike Tyson like wrestling and want to do these things. Shaq's been involved in wrestling on and off for 25 years. Scott says, has Vince's opinion on the virus changed? I read a couple of months ago that Vince thinks the virus is an overhyped cold. That was something that I had heard initially, and obviously he's had to have changed his opinion on it because of all the protocols and the outbreak. So yeah, I would imagine that firsthand experience has led to him change that. I've not spoken to him about it. Aiden says, let's talk about wrestling figures. Hell yeah, let's talk about them. He says, I'm so pleased to see you as a collector. Love the unboxing video. I have over 100 figures. Ordering, buying, unboxing lists, my mood for the day. Glad it helped you. How far will you go with your collecting? Damn, man. So here's the thing. When I first started to do it, I was just going to collect figures from Kentucky and Cincinnati wrestlers, local to me. Either build from here or from here. Well, I adjusted a little bit, and this summer when I needed something to lift my spirits, I started to collect Jax BCA. That's Bone Crunching Actions, the old rubbery figures with the hard bodies, and they would pop when you would move their joints. And I was like, you know what? I'll get one of each character. Then I was like, all right, now I'll get some of the extra paint jobs. Now I'm like, no, I'm just going to get every paint job, every figure. I'm also collecting AEW figures. I'm going to collect all those and all the peripheral stuff. And I'm going to collect loose ECW San Francisco Toymaker figures from like 99, 2000. As I've said before, I do not display these. I do not show them off. I don't really take a lot of pictures of them. I'm going to start doing a little bit more. It's just something that I do connected to wrestling to make me, to give me a little bit, something extra to do. That way, even though I'm not working, I can use it for work. I can use unboxing videos for work. Because like I said, it's hard for me to disconnect. So I find things like that. Question two is, what are your favorite figures and what's the most you spent on a figure? Actually, as I mentioned, I love that British Bulldog. The Jax BCA, it's one of my favorites. I like the little brand figure because it was a gift from Ringside Collectibles, and I really appreciate that. The Taz at San Francisco Toy Makers figure is awesome. It's one of my favorite figures ever. The most I've spent on a figure, the most I spent on an ECW figure was probably $20-$25 for that inbox Taz. I spent $20 on a loose Mike Awesome. I spent $75 on an Executioner, and then somebody gave me two of them for free. Go figure. And I think I've spent $40-ish on a few of the AEW figures because they're very hard to find right now. I actually like the Draws bone-crunching action figure an awful lot. Aiden says, I see you've started to collect ECW and AEW. What made you enter these markets? What are your favorite AEW figures? Will you ever move to WWE Elites, Ultimate, Specials, or Pops? No, I don't like WWE Elites, Ultimate, Specials, or Pops. My wife collects Pops, but I'm not a big fan of the Mattel figures or the Face Scan Jax figures. The AEW figures, I don't know what drew me to it. Probably because I enjoy their in-ring product a little bit more, and it's something that I could jump into right now and completely collect, as opposed to going back through years and years of stuff. Ronan says, if you were to have a mum on a pole match with any wrestler, who would it be? Well, I mean, here's the thing. Is it their mom that's like, I don't know who what the prize is up there? That's a bit of a loaded question. Ronan says, what was Young Sean's go-to wrestler playing the SmackDown games? Brock Lesnar. I love that. I would give him the shuffle sidekick on Here Comes the Pain, and he would just be so spammy. But yeah, Brock Lesnar. There's nothing he couldn't do. How different would the wrestling landscape have been if Bret had stayed with WWE in 97? So much came from the fallout of that. Well, I refer you back to our interview with Bret Hart, because we specifically talk about that. He could have had matches with The Rock, with Kurt Angle, with Mick Foley, a whole lot of people. I think that WWE would have put WCW out of business even sooner. I think that the Mr. McMahon character still would have developed. I think that Owen would still be with us. I think that Bulldog, I don't know if he'd still be with us, but he would have had a longer career. We would have seen more out of the Hart Foundation. It would have been really good. Nathan says, I know a lot of fans, including myself, want it to be Big E, but who do you think will be the guy to take the belt off Roman? I don't think they have an idea right now. Who do I think? I think it will be Big E. But I don't think they have any plans for that right now, and they shouldn't. He's amazing. Since Ricky Stark said on BTE he wasn't under contract, I looked in resources, and there are other big names I don't see that have a contract. I just need to specify, just because they're not listed as having a contract there, that does not mean they don't have a contract. It just means we don't know when it expires at all. So there's like that, just because they're not listed does not mean that they don't have one. And it doesn't mean that they're not signed, so to speak. Ben says, with Matt Sydal and Trent being given matches with Nakazawa after botched high spots, do you think the Nakazawa match could become a regular punishment for high spot botches? It's not a punishment. It is a cover-up, and it's an easy way to do something like that. It's an easy way to make sense of something and make your wrestlers not look as bad, or at least a tip of the cap. Ben says, with the Biden administration, union interest in WWE practices, and Andrew Yang's interest, do you see any of these options as likely to force WWE to change? And if so, what do you see happening? I think WWE will adjust a little bit. I think we'll, by the end of this decade, we'll see a wrestlers association in WWE. But it'll just be for WWE. It won't be across multiple promotions. Why do you think AEW are progressing the Tanera, Conti, Anna Jay, and Dark Order story so slowly? 2 months to still not an answer, a simple invitation seems so slow to me. I mean, why rush it if you don't have any advanced creative plans for either one? Keep people guessing. I'm completely fine with that. We're just so used to immediate, not even immediate satisfaction, just immediate. Everything in WWE is like, okay, well, you'll probably know by the end of the show. And when we get a slow burn, it's like, oh, well, okay, cool. but this is a slow burn and maybe something else will develop from it. Best guess, is Xavier Woods getting the paychecks from G4 or is WWE getting it? I would imagine Xavier is. Have you heard of any promotion specifically interested in Zelina Vega? Yes, but it won't really matter until February. But yes, I've heard people from multiple promotions tell me that there is interest in her. Brian says, have you heard if WWE has any of the top WrestleMania matches planned as of yet? Nope. As far as I'm told, everything is still pretty wide open. Should we expect any more surprise AEW debuts before the end of the year? Not that I've heard. I don't know if you should expect it. That, again, that's a loaded question. I don't know if you should expect it. Because if I say no, somebody's going to be like, oh, remember when you said there wouldn't be any? I mean, I don't know if there are any planned. I've not heard of any. So I can't really speak to that. But you can expect it all you want. Oliver says, I've been training in pro wrestling for a month now and definitely feeling banged up and bruised. Any idea on how to recover? Take your amino acids. Take your protein. Make sure you are... Like, even if you're having cheat days and stuff, don't hesitate to do those on days when you actually work out so your body can absorb that a little bit better. Oliver says, Xavier Woods says his goal in wrestling is to win King of the Ring. Think Vince would give it to him? Yeah, I do. I think that's going to happen for him in the future. Anakin says, assuming Rollins is now off TV until after his baby is born, he is. Should he return with the Messiah gimmick or return as a babyface and bring his Burn It Down music? I think Burn It Down is done. I think he'll come back as a de facto, like he thinks he's a babyface, but he's actually a heel and he's just so overwhelmed by childbirth that he's just too much to deal with. I think that would be very interesting. How are the pay-per-view buys from Full Gear? I don't know. My estimate is probably between 75 to 95. Eric says, any reason why AEW has dropped Les Sex Gods and are now going with Jericho and Hager? Well, the name, I know that some people aren't that comfortable with it because of the Sammy Guevara comments that got him suspended. But that's my insinuation. I wasn't given a term. I was just told that they wanted to go with Jericho and Hager. Jacob said, should Tony Khan be receiving the flack he is for his Change the Wrestling Power Shift tweet? I think that he could have just said, change the shift of power in AEW and it would have went a lot better. Ultimately, he's a promoter, so he's supposed to promote his show. And I don't have a problem with him promoting his show whatsoever. I definitely get how some people were disappointed. I don't think they would have been disappointed if Pac hadn't done the video the week before. Oliver says, any talk on the whereabouts of Marty Scurll these days? Is his career in jeopardy? For now it is. I think eventually he'll be back. He's in Florida, last I heard. Dev says, I know that initially the Divas Championship was intended to be won by Torrey Wilson. Do you know why that never came to fruition? Dev, I don't believe that it was. Tori was released by WWE in, I want to say, May of 2008. She was already done with the company by then, and the title was established in July of 2008. So we're talking about 2.5 months there between those two. And even by that point, Tori had not wrestled in 6 months. So maybe somebody thought that it was gonna happen, and they thought that it was designed for her. I'd never even heard that, but the timeline doesn't necessarily add up. If you do happen to have like a link or something to where that was reported, I would love to see that though, because I had never heard that. Another question about the migration of Fightful Select: is there any time frame you guys are shooting for? I'm shooting for Q1 2021. It is not something that will happen before the end of the year. My apologies. I wish it was, but we want it to be done right. We want it to be done right. We got a lot of stuff to do. We're going to try to migrate the older podcasts over there as well. But, I mean, we're talking about 2.5, almost 3 years of stuff there. Ray says, AEW having a Big Four pay-per-view model is a pay-per-view model I like. What are your thoughts once crowds return of a special Saturday night special event on TNT? I love that. I think them doing like a Clash of the Champions type of thing 2 or 3 times a year, maybe even 4 times a year on TNT would be really good. It would make a lot of sense. Ray says, so after taking a pin to AJ Styles, what's next for Ethan Page? If he's to leave Impact, does he go to AEW and pair with his brother Adam? Oh my God. I hope he goes to AEW. If I were WWE, I'd be interested. As I've mentioned, he is a TV wrestler, and he's a very good one. I think that they're probably going to do something crazy for him. I've heard some stuff, but I haven't mentioned it to him. I haven't mentioned it to Impact, but I've heard some wild stuff about him leaving and his how things were filmed, but I guess we'll see. Ray says, love Jazz with Jordynne Grace. Do you know what happened with the Taylor Wilde rumors? Or were they just rumors? Well, this comes down to media literacy. I don't remember anybody reporting that Taylor Wilde was going to be Jordan's partner, just that she was to return imminently. And she is. She told us this in an interview months ago, that whenever she's able to get back into the country, she'll end up doing some Impact stuff. I mean, that was a lot of people just running with it and saying, oh, well, it's got to be Taylor Wilde then. Not necessarily. Ali says, if Daniel Cormier signs with WWE, who should he face at WrestleMania? Do you think he should be booked as a top talent? No, he should be booked as a special attraction. I don't know how he'll take to wrestling if he does it. He should be an attraction, just like Cain Velasquez should have been an attraction and built off the natural history with Brock Lesnar. Title should not be involved at all. Dev says, what do you think the end game is with Lana? Does she win the tag titles with someone, preferably not named Asuka? I think she does win them, and I think she wins them with Asuka. And I don't know what happens there. I don't know what happens there. To be honest, I'll lead into your next question. You said, what would you be your ideal way for Charlotte Flair to return to the fray? Personally, I'd like to see her in a string of non-title feuds where women call her out to raise their own status. Her as like Lana's partner, as Lana's mystery partner, and then winning the tag titles would be great. Nia and Shayna would have to take out Asuka. And what I would do is I'd have Shayna and Nia take out Asuka, really beat the living shit out of her. Lana doesn't have a tag team title partner. She brings back Charlotte Flair. They win the tag titles. Then that leaves Nia and Shayna without titles, and then Asuka could feud with Shayna and Nia and get good matches there, and you've got a couple programs. Ali says, what do you think is the next megastar match in WWE that everybody's going to be buzzing about, like Cena versus Rock at Mania 28? Rock versus Roman, Four Horsemen Four-Way, or Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey? Charlie says, is there any plans to do Drew and Roman again? Eventually they want to, but there's no plans. Charlie said, has anyone uncovered how Vince found out about Cameo? Alluding to Jimmy pointing out that Big E had advertisement for his ring gear. Then there was the Vega Belair angle on the Twitch. Big E had that gear made for WrestleMania. That wasn't something that was supposed to happen when it did. That was his original WrestleMania gear. The Vega Belair stuff, I don't think that was directed by Vince, but it just came up and Vince heard about it, as best I can tell. That's because I've asked a lot about that, but it's just something that he came about and was like, oh, how much money? Manuel says, who do you think wins a ladder match between Cornette and JR? I'm going to say JR. He has more allies in wrestling. Ricky Morton would come out and he can still go. He would attack Jim Cornette. Manuel says, hearing Court Bauer on Talk is Jericho, and he said he and Tony Khan have been working on something together. What do you think AEW gains working with MLW? Talent, especially for the future. Look up and down that roster at all the talent that's come from MLW. Specifically, a guy named MJF. So, yes, they stand to gain a lot. Being in MLW puts you on AEW and WWE's radar. Luis says, will we ever see Anna Bauert on a podcast or prediction video with Fightful? Anna's completely out of wrestling. She doesn't have anything to do with it. Doesn't seem like she wants to have anything to do with it. Anna Bauer is still one of my best friends. I talk to her every single day. And I will only do things that Anna Bauer is comfortable with doing. I'll mention it to her sometime. I've brought up the idea of doing stuff, but she hasn't seemed interested, so I don't want to push that. I don't want anybody to be involved with something like that they're not completely on board with. And Anna dealt with a lot of shit, quite frankly. She dealt with a whole lot of shit from people. And I'm just lucky to still have her as a friend. So if she ever wants to do something with wrestling, I'll be the first person to want to do something with her in wrestling. But she doesn't want to right now. Does Tegan Knox's latest injury make her injury prone in the eyes of WWE? Will she ever get the push she deserves? If it were Vince, yes, but Triple H doesn't look at things that way necessarily. I do think it might prevent a big push early on, but I think she'll get over it, and so will they. Cameron says, what are a few matches that WWE has that you would like to see happen in AEW? I don't know if AEW's done a tables match yet, but I would like to see one of those. I'm not big on the container matches like body bag, buried alive, dumpster, ambulance, all that stuff. I don't need an inferno match. I don't need any other special variation of a cage unless it's one with a top on it. I would like to see them utilize like the old blue bar cage thing if WWE isn't. I think that would make a lot of sense. It would be very fun. I really think that last year was the greatest year, or maybe this year, was the greatest year for advancements in wrestling match types. We had Fight Pit. We had the Casino Ladder Match, which I thought was awesome. We had the advent of the Cinematic Match. Well, not the advent. Matt Hardy's done it for a long time, but we really saw it accelerate. I would like to see some sort of Hell in a Cell, Cage, TLC integration. That would be fun. But there's not a lot in WWE that I look at and I say, oh, okay, well, I need that in AEW. They've picked up the best parts, I think. Luis says, is it difficult to get interviews with rising talent from AEW compared to WWE? I don't see a lot of John Silver, Anna Jay interviews out there. Well, right now it's impossible for me to get interviews from WWE. And I've mentioned this. I message WWE PR every single month because I want them to know that I want to talk to their wrestlers. I want to interview their wrestlers on the record. Won't be anything crazy spicy or anything, just an entertaining conversation, because if it's set up by WWE, those are the rules you follow and you got to do it, and I'm more than happy to abide by those. But they haven't seemed keen on providing any right now. Maybe that'll change. We got a giant influx of interviews between August and March. So hopefully they'll listen to you guys, because that's why I want to do it. AEW, I get somebody from there about once every 6 weeks. And if I asked for a John Silver or Anna Jay and prioritized that, I'm pretty sure they could make that happen. I'll do that. I'll see if I can set up some sort of interview with somebody like that. I think that's a good idea. The thing is, usually I interview people like that before they get to AEW, and I've usually got a direct line to a lot of people like that. Like Anthony Bowens, I interviewed him before AEW, MJF before AEW, August Gray before WWE. A lot of these people, I generally have a pretty good idea that they're going to be successful. It's hard to avoid, you know what I mean? So I'm able to get a hold of them. Guys, thank you all so much. That's the Fightful Select Q&A. I appreciate you guys. Tell the world about Fightful Select. We're out.